So this morning, to open up with, first of all, I do want to address the mothers because I'm very thankful that we have them. Very thankful that I have one. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. So I'm very thankful for that. Very thankful that my wife is a mother and that we raised three wonderful young men. And we've got to see the fruit of their lives in our lives. And it's just been tremendous. But the thing I know about Connie is that she had a huge part in raising up those children, and that without the Lord's help, we would have never been able to do it, or had the, how it turned out the way because of raising them in Jesus Christ. I mean, and I'm very thankful for that today. So thank you to all you mothers, moms, whatever you want to call yourself. I'm very thankful for you today and what you've given into our children to raise them up in the things of God. Second of all, why don't you stand with me this morning? Even you online can exercise yourselves and stand with us. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you today for allowing us to come and share the Word of God, that you may impart some word to us, knowing what we have need of even before we ask. That, Lord, you will open the hearing and you will open the eyes of our hearts so that we may see and understand and know that you are indeed the one true living God. And that, Lord, today as we gather together as believers, knowing that as we believe the Word of God, the things that you have given us in your promises in that same Word are ours. You will fulfill it because you have said you will fulfill it. That there will be no word that you speak that will return to you void. All things will come to pass. This we believe today. So God, grant it to us as we seek your face today to know your name and to live as you would have us live in the things that you've given to us, in the inheritance that you've granted to us in knowing Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me this morning to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And we'll do some reading here this morning. How many know that every one of us has a wicked member? That's what we're going to talk about today. Each and every one of us has a wicked member. And you know what? When it becomes manifest, all of a sudden we know that it is wicked. We know that it is now made known, correct? So let's read, shall we? My brethren, be not many masters. The word masters there means teacher or rabbi. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, what that word condemnation there means judgment. So the scripture says that to whom much has been given, what's it say after that? Much shall be required, right? So as a master or as a teacher, this is why anybody who wants to be a pastor needs to come and talk to a pastor before they make that decision. Just so you know. Because what's required of you is great. And not every man can take on the burden of what is required. But what is given to you in understanding and in knowledge of the holy, much is required of it. It's important to understand and know those things. Amen. For in many things we offend all. Can you say amen? In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Did you hear that? Meaning if I could speak every word out of my mouth that and it never offended anyone, I would be perfect. Now, who can testify of being a perfect man today? None of you? There's not one of you that can testify this morning of being a perfect man. That's good, because I would say that you would be a liar, that if you thought you could open your mouth and speak and not offend anyone. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. How many have ridden a horse? Yeah. So you put a bit in a horse's mouth, and now what's the horse subject to? To the rider. Yeah, so now the horse is going to go where you want it to go. The next parable he talks about is a ship, right? A ship is a huge thing. And yet, what steers this huge ship? The rudder, which is a little thing. When it comes to being the part of a ship, the rudder's this little ship, this little part of a ship, but it steers the whole ship. Correct? Important to know. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Amen? And boast great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Yes. So, we talk about many things in the body of Christ. We talk about much word. And it's amazing how out of the same mouth that we praise God with, what do we do to men? We curse men because we curse out of the perceptions of what? The mind of the flesh. Out of what we see. And so, we're going to come to a place in the scripture this morning where it says it should not be this way. If we're taking on the mind of Christ and we're professing to be believers in Jesus Christ, and if I say I am a believer in Jesus Christ, then am I not becoming one with Christ? Right? So, did Jesus offend anyone when he opened his mouth to speak? Who did he offend? The Pharisees. How come he would offend a Pharisee? Huh? He went against what they believed. Did he say it to offend them, or did he say it to turn them around, to guide them, to show them that, listen, I know your law. I am your law. I am the fulfillment of your law. If you believed in me, you would see Abraham's day. Isn't that what he said to them? Abraham believed in my day. These are the things he would say to them. So if you are Abraham's children, then you would believe in me. And what would happen? They'd become offended. They wanted to kill the truth that showed up. They wanted to put him out. Don't you speak that in my world. That's what they would say. Amazing thing, right? So, it's an amazing thing to me today that as we live in this world, and I'm not talking about the world in you, I'm talking greater than that today, or bigger than that today, if you will allow me to. Because we see a lot of turmoil perceptually in this world, don't we not? What causes it? Thoughts of men? Okay, for sure. What else causes it? Well, we could say the man of sin, right? But I'll say it this way. Some believe that their thoughts are not sin, and some believe their thoughts are not sin, and yet they don't agree. So they're divided about what the truth is. So if there's a division about what truth is, then what needs to show up in order for the truth to guide? The truth! I love it! So this is why we're here today. This is why we're in this chapter. Because if we deny the truth, can we ever become one in Jesus Christ? No. And if you look at the things being said in this world today, you know that in the minds of men, truth does not exist. Every man has his own truth. And if you come against that truth, they become offended, angry, and are ready to do what? They're ready to kill. Amazing, isn't it? They are ready to take you out. And so we have, and don't take this wrong today, please, because it's just a manifestation. But you look at one of the things that is getting ready to come to pass in this nation today, and that is the position of Roe versus Wade in the abortion laws, and how divided our country is over that one thing. One thing. One thing. And that's just one of many. But it certainly seems to be the hot subject of the day. What would God say about that one thing? You have to ask yourself the question. What would God say about the one thing? So, first of all, who is God? Shouldn't that be the first question? And is God always right? That's the second question. Who is God? Is God always right? And should I live under the authority of God who created everything through Christ Jesus and believe God? Isn't that the choice I've made as a Christian? I believe it is. You know that if we all believed and walked as the Word of God instructs us to walk, we would not be facing the choices that we face in this nation today. It wouldn't be there. Because you would be walking how? How would you be walking? You would be walking in the truth. You would know the truth, and the truth would be doing what for you? It would be making you free. Free from what? Free from the knowledge of sin? Free from death? Free from wanting to live your life the way you choose and not the way God hath chosen for you? And so if I'm living that way, by the Word of God, then what's my choice? To obey and follow Jesus Christ. That's my choice. And if I did that, would that not gain a lot of ground in my mind when it comes to my perceptions of what I face in this life? Man, would it. It would change a lot for me. Amazingly. Would I be blessed? I'd be blessed. Would I be fruitful? I'd be fruitful. Could I subdue the earth? I would be subduing the earth because I'd be in Christ Jesus, subduing the earth. In other words, the things of this life would be nothingness to me because I'm gaining what? I'm gaining Christ. The things of heaven, the things of eternal life are now becoming my life. So the old man or my old thoughts are being what? Transformed or overcome, right? They're becoming renewed in the spirit of Christ, in the spirit of the mind that is called Christ. And so in that, my perceptions then change also. Would I be a fornicator? Would I be an adulterer? What would I be? I would be a son. But what happens to the adulterer and the fornicator? What do they become? Lovers of God and not lovers of themselves. Because when we love our own selves, what happens? When we love our own thoughts, where does it take us? It takes us down a road that's not good. Because all that is in the world or all that is in this world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And where did that all come from? You don't know where it came from? Where did it come? It came from the father of lies. Who's the father of lies? Satan. That's where it all came from. It came from choosing not to follow the commandment. It came from choosing our own life over God's life. And when we choose a life that is not God, what we lay prey to ourselves is every evil thought that overtakes the mind, and then we try to justify our own selves, calling evil good and good evil. That's how we work it. What's the trouble with that? Okay, now all of a sudden, because the mind is now being deceived, and now we're following a word of an antichrist or a false prophet, and what happens then to the aspects of the soul? They're defiled. And they can do what to us, John? Lead us astray. That's what it says in Deuteronomy 13. The aspects of our soul can lead us astray. What does Jesus Christ want to do for you when it comes to the aspects of your soul? Does he not want to redeem them? Convert them? Make them born again? And in becoming born again, what do they become? What are the aspects of the soul? The wife? The daughter? Son? Friend? And brother? Mm-hmm. So you have five aspects of the soul. How many of you have seen the aspects of your soul when it comes to the relationship of wife, daughter, brother, son, and friend? Have you seen them? What do they look like? I mean, if they can deceive you, how many have said, I'm just following my heart? How many have said it? Right? I'm just going to follow my heart. Well, the aspects of your soul that are not redeemed, where can they lead you? If you're going to follow your heart, where can you be led into? You can be led into you're already in the pit. Okay, you can fall into a bigger pit, but all of a sudden the mind becomes what? Reprobate? Yeah. Void of truth, not even willing to recognize the truth when it's given. Wow. And so these things become alive unto us so that now we fellowship with dead things. And Gary talked about this at the conference on our last weekend. We begin to fellowship with dead things. What happens when you fellowship with dead things? What are you strengthening in yourself? You're strengthening the man of sin. That's what you're doing. How many have seen the work of the man of sin in their lives? Come on. Come on. And we can definitely see manifestations of it when we look at ourselves outwardly. But what does it look like within yourself inwardly in the perceptions of God? Okay, those are all manifestations of it, right? But how wicked do those things, what do they look like? It's just like when the disciples were on, the disciples were in a boat, right? And Jesus was on the shore and he began to walk to them. Peter gets out of the boat because God bid him. And when Peter got out of the boat, could he walk on water? What did his mind go to that caused him to? He looked down, took his eyes off Jesus, looked down, saw dead things, and began to go to the dead. That's our mind. That's a parable of how we think. So if I take my eyes off Jesus and the truth that is in Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me. So if I take my eyes off Jesus Christ, even for a moment, what do I open myself up to? Dead things. And that's where my mind goes. I go into dead things. In the book of Genesis, God comes to talk to Cain, right? Because Cain brought the wrong sacrifice before the Lord, did he not? Abel brought what kind of sacrifice? A righteous sacrifice. Cain brought a sacrifice of what? His own hand. Of the earth. He brought a sacrifice of the earth to the Lord. Is that the sacrifice the Lord asked for? No. No, he asked for a righteous sacrifice. So he comes to talk to Cain about the sacrifice. And what does he say to Cain? If you do good, you'll be accepted. If you do evil, what lies at the door? Sin lies at the door. So if I take my eyes off of Jesus, what's at the door? Sin. You know how easy it is to step through that door and take on the nature of a beast? Who opened the door? We did. By choosing not to follow Jesus Christ. And it was a choice. Well, I didn't mean to do it. That's not true. Well, that's how we lie. That's how we justify our behavior, justify our mind. Is that, well, I didn't mean to do it. No. You knew. God came and gave you the truth. He came and gave you the commandment before you had to make a choice. That's God. He gave you the commandment, gave you the truth in order for you to choose life. Because if you didn't have the truth, how could you choose life, Bryce? You wouldn't be able to do it. He came and gave you the truth, gave you a commandment, gave you the ability to choose life. And if you would just believe as Abraham did, what would it be counted to you as? Righteousness. Oh, wow. It's funny how we want to blame the devil for all of our sin, right? But the truth of that is that who's the devil? Huh? Oh, it's you. We want to blame some guy in a red suit with horns on his head and a long tail and a pitchfork that keeps hitting us in the backside to move us into through the door, right? That's how we want to perceive it. No, the truth of it is that in your mind, he's already there. That's why God comes to the truth. Because when God showed up with the truth, all of a sudden, that mind of evil was made manifest. That's why God gave you the truth, so that you could know your choices or your thoughts that are not the thoughts of God, so that you could choose God and the truth could make you free, free from sin, death, and the devil, so that they would have no power over you. Isn't that why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world? To free you from the condemnation of death, to free you from the condemnation of sin, and to free you from yourself. Yes. And it becomes life to you. I choose life. Let me go on. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Well, so your tongue is what? Now, it just described how you think. Right? Because the tongue can't say anything that you don't think. It's not possible. The tongue can only say what you think. So the tongue becomes what then? Doesn't the tongue become a manifester of your thought? For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So now why is he saying all this about your tongue? Yeah, it defiles your whole body, doesn't it? Does God speak evil? No. He speaks life. So if I follow God, am I going to be okay? And so if I allow God to train my thoughts, right, or to reconcile my thoughts to himself, then when I open up my mouth to speak, what am I going to speak? I'm going to speak life. Now, I'll be the first to say that nobody is perfect the minute they believe in Jesus Christ. But they are working towards it, aren't they? Because doesn't God have to totally realign our thoughts? Look at the Apostle Paul. Did he get transformed? And when we read it in the Bible, it seems like it was blink of an eye, new man, right? But for 14 years, he went on the backside of the desert and was taught of God by the Holy Ghost. Went to Jerusalem 2 times to talk with Peter, James, and John. And they were astounded at the conversation that this man could have when it came to the scriptures. See, diligence is a key part of taming the tongue. So Peter would say it this way: give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For in doing these things, you shall never fall. And an entrance shall be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm going to be diligent about the Word of God, then what am I going to do about the commandment? Am I going to follow it? Am I going to submit myself to it and obey it? That's what I'm going to do. It's just like when God gave promise to Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son. They tried it their way one time and had Ishmael, correct? And then God had to show up, right? And reprove them and reproof and correction becomes our way of life. Reproof and correction is how the tongue becomes tamed by God. So God shows up to reprove Abraham and Sarah. This guy, this son that you just had, he is not the promise. He is not the son that I promised you. And then he began to talk to them about the appointed time. How many of us know that each and every one of us have an appointed time in the Father? Every one of us. Did Mary have an appointed time? That's what Gabriel said to her. How did Mary become Mary? She followed the word of God diligently. In fact, the Bible said that she was a virgin, right? What did that mean? Did it mean she never had sex or never laid with a man? What did it mean? She only cared for the things of God. Do you know the Bible says that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you become a virgin again? What? What? How is that possible? Because now, when you say you believe in Jesus Christ, all things become new. And what you care for is not the things of this world. Now you care for the things that are of God. And it becomes your life. Your tongue is being tamed. It's no longer unruly. It's now bridled by the word of God. And you take on the nature, the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So what did he just say? We should not be double-minded. Correct? We should not be double-minded. In fact, the whole book of James talks about the double-minded man. And James is preaching to the double-minded thought to make it one in Christ Jesus, to make you single in your heart. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So we don't want to be double-minded, right? We want to be single-minded in our heart. That way, if we're single-minded, can we offend? No, we cannot. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descends not from above, but is earthy, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Oh my gosh. So is it talking now about the tongue, or is it talking about the mind that controls the tongue? The mind. We do not want to be double-minded. That's why I said, in this life, cannot the word of God bring forth fruit meant for repentance, where I begin to live as God desires his sons to live? Yes. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. So all of a sudden now, the fruit that is in the mind comes from what? Comes from above, correct? So doesn't the Bible say that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, so now all of a sudden, something has entered in. I've been looking for the things of God, right? Jesus said that he would be with me, but shall be where? In you. So when Jesus comes in through the giving of the Holy Ghost, what happens to the tongue? It's changed. It is changed. It cannot speak strivings and envyings and evil things. It now has the fruit of God in it. Isn't that awesome? Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I'll never forget when I first came into Living Fellowship, we're having a Bible study at our house, and Jeff and Rick are there with us and leading the discussion. And I was sitting down with Rick and Jeff, and they said, they told me that the spirit of hypocrisy is in that house. And I looked at them and I said, what? They said, yeah, the spirit of the hypocrite's here. And I'm like, wow. And Rick goes, bro, it's you. How do you think that was received? No, that's not true. I was so happy that they said it. I was just so happy that it was said. Because now what could happen? Now that it's been revealed, what can happen to it? It can be taken out of the way. And it's the same for all of you. These things have to be revealed. And the tongue will reveal dead things in you for sure. That's why if we can't fellowship the Word of God here amongst us as family, what are we going to do when we go outside of here, open up our mouth to speak? What are we going to release? Dead things. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Well, definitely going to enter in some strife and contention, aren't we, Bryce? And that's not God. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Can you say amen to that? We are here. We are peacemakers. I had a dear friend of mine. She was my fifth grade school teacher. And I recently went to her son's funeral. I gave her a hug and told her I loved her, thankful for it. And years ago, she came up to me and hugged me. And she said, I know that you're a peacemaker. That's awesome to me, right? That means that she could see something through Jesus Christ and not something through herself. And it can be imparted to each and every one of you as well. That's our Lord. Does he not hold a blessing for each and every one of us today as we become partakers in the divine nature of Jesus Christ and know that he is Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, and he is our Savior. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you today. Any questions?